Well, welcome back to the wonderful world of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And I think it was worth noting here.
It's in the studio, so don't worry about us, right. And don't worry about the next people. We're cleaning the keyboards,
which is
what everyone should be doing. I've been doing that for years. I don't trust any communal anything.
Don't touch face.
That I have to get better at. Touching stuff that other people touch, I've been there.
I have to say...
Move that over
Am I allowed to touch it? I think I didn't touch that, right?
You have to clean off the touching.
That's exactly right. No, actually, where I work, at MIT, I'm actually opening doors with my elbows.
But didn't you do that before?
Not so religiously.
I raised my kid that way, and I'm that way. I don't touch any public surface.
Yeah. So anyway, it's I do, but now I'm being much more careful, at least for the short term.
Yeah, it's the face
And and it's interesting because, I also teach at Harvard Extension School, and the word from Harvard today was that...
Oh, right. How does that affect you?
Well, their spring break is next week, and they pretty much told everybody Harvard...
Don't come back. Great time to be in Cambridge, actually. Yeah, students. There's no actually tourist buses from China. Have you noticed that?
It's going to be so easy to park, let me tell you. It's maybe you shouldn't laugh about it.
No.
But it is kind of stunning.
It is, because it affects every... And in effect, I'm concerned about workers that... cannot, if they get sick, they don't get paid. I mean,
there's not a single confirmed case of a person who's got the virus, coronavirus, in Cambridge, but there were people who were exposed, so everybody's...
Wait, that's not true. How do you know that? Some people that lived in
Cambridge.
Yeah, but they attended that Biogen, and that's why they
are... It's a Boston Biogen conference, so the thing is...
It was Cambridge. It was at the Marriott, right across from Biogen. I know. I was there on Friday, unbeknowing to me, but... Food for free is no longer can pack their family meals
Okay. But anyway, it's not like it's sort of settled in and people are somehow showing symptoms or anything yet in Cambridge. But this is prevention. This is all about prevention, and it's not about individual safety. It's about public health.
It's public health.
So it's it's really more about making sure that if somebody who doesn't even know they're infected,
well, that's
isn't
the problem.
In the business of infecting,
that's why
others.
They don't. Even the experts don't understand how it's transmitted and how long. And that's what's scary. You can have the symptoms and you can pass it on and never develop it yourself.
Right.
So even though you might be a healthy individual, or your little kid can pass it on to you as an adult.
Now, the word that had sort of come down on from high, from national sources, was to restrict crowds of more than a certain size. So at MIT, the word was
200 or 100.
Well, any of the large lectures were going to be canceled. So those were, that meant at the time 150 more people. Mm. And I think Harvard was going with the same standard, but the word out in the press release this morning was 25 or more.
Mm.
And I don't know if
that means classes. So that's why they're going to do virtual
classes.
Yeah.
Now there may be
classes.
Small recitation classes, something that are below that threshold. My lecture, which I give Thursday nights, has 100 students, but some of them are online students.
Hmm. And you're talking about now at Harvard Extension.
Yeah, and they have the option of watching it on video, so they don't necessarily have to show. So
I bet that's what's going to happen to you.
I suspect what's going to happen is that we won't have class on Thursday, but I don't know that yet. Nobody's...
Well, where would you record it, though?
Well,
you would have to have it to be recorded, right?
This is one of the positive aspects, and maybe one
positive?
Day the job-killing aspects of online classes is that they record your lectures, and as long as your course isn't changing a whole lot from year to year, and my Harvard courses are pretty much the same course every year.
Oh, they could use the one from last year?
They can actually take it right out of the can and just put me up from last year.
So you don't have students responding within class, it's just a straight-out lecture?
The lecture has a minimum of interaction with students, but you pretty much have to roll with it. I get a lot of questions after class, and I meet with students before class, so... I guess that's out, and whether I have to do a fresh recording in front of an empty room or not, or a handful of people.
When are they going to let you know? It's already Tuesday.
I'm expecting that I'll hear about it before the end of the day today. But I just hadn't heard it. When they say Harvard is canceling classes after this coming Monday, Harvard Extension is part of Harvard, so I'm assuming that'll apply to my courses MIT's down to the 150 threshold, and their spring break is the following week. But now there's rumors flying all over MIT that, in fact, they may actually cancel... Well, they're already canceling large lectures, but...
Also, there's Star Forum. Do you know that series? I've gone to a couple. It's in one of the places, and they now are just streaming it. They're not having it in person. So.
Yeah, yeah. And there are even public meetings in Cambridge. Like I saw something with the Cambridge Redevelopment Authority had a meeting tomorrow night. It was canceled.
That doesn't draw so many people, does it?
I don't think it draws so many people.
Oh, maybe it was at the Marriott?
But the whole point of a public meeting is it's supposed to be publicly accessible.
True.
Well, so as their press release said is, well, they're canceling this one, and they're for future meetings. They're investigating all sorts of online capabilities for having
access that way. Well, it's good that we have our planning board and our city council meetings are all televised, so there's no reason for anyone to show up.
Right, unless they wanted to give testimony.
Well, which we know who always does, and that's fine. But they don't have to, because you can still communicate via email.
I agree. I am concerned, that there's something about the sort of the in-person testimony that's a little more compelling than submitting a letter.
Well, it is for me. When I listen to it, I like it. Not all of them, but then occasionally there's a public commenter that says, wow, they're really saying it.
If in another month or two they're getting into some very consequential hearings, and in fact, they are, the existence of a viral threat like this means
well, a month or two is a ways away.
The only testimony will be carefully written letters. I don't know that's as impactful.
Well, some issues, yes, they pack the back there, but most of them, there's about 15 people. I think that's allowable, isn't it?
Right, but the thing is, how do you put it in the press release? Says we're only going to allow the.
Well, no, I think they can tell by what's on the agenda what's going to draw the people.
I know.
Right, just go to social media and see who's saying show up. Right.
Anyway, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
As I do point out to my MIT students this morning, when there was the plague in Britain, Isaac Newton went to his orchard and invented the theory of gravity.
So it can spawn some great ideas.
I put the challenge out to my MIT students that take advantage of the opportunity. It's kind of scary, but
it is.
But maybe it's also a good reminder that in fact
just
we are
be
just
more attentive and
mortal human beings, and in fact science does a lot, but you can't absolutely
take care of yourself, right? And I just got an email from our mayor, Simple Siddiqui, that I hopefully, if you don't get her list or you can go to the city, she has a whole thing about the an update on COVID-19 in Cambridge. So
I think that was put out to
She's the mayor. The people ahead of things. That's why Baker came back from Utah from his.
It's actually one of the sort of odd things. It's actually within the planning charter.
Normally
the mayor is a ceremonial mayor. The city manager runs the city and, appoints the police chief runs the police force. So in terms of, public safety and all of that thing, it's really, that has nothing to do with the mayor, except during verified clear emergencies. And it's not so clear we can define this to be that just at this point.
Well, but people look to their leaders.
They look to it. But it's not just a matter of moral authority. It's actually within the charter is that there's a reason why if you're the mayor, you can actually use police plates. Because in an emergency setting like that, you actually become...
You assume a certain authority, deputized, or something.
So it's something that's rarely ever invoked, but the thing is, it does exist, so it's serious. So that's something to think about.
Yeah,
to be sure. Now, meanwhile, tonight or today are more presidential primaries.
Six
different
big
states.
Big one, Michigan, because there are a lot of delegates, and that's
actually,
what...
if you scroll to the top of that...
Oh, you have it here?
Show you. Yeah, just go up to the very top. Yeah. I didn't know...
Well, what's going on here? What did you do? Did you just...
I didn't do a thing. I didn't do...
Well, I can't... Oh, there we go. All right.
So, anyway, last week, it was Super Tuesday.
Oh, good. You have all the dates here.
Yeah. And, in that one, there were a lot of states, and it was very consequential. And as I think most everybody knows, it kind of turned the tide. Actually, South Carolina prior to that really
that
turned
really,
the tide.
That really, because that's when Amy and Pete then
candidates were leaving. And then subsequent to Super Tuesday, pretty much everybody else is out of there. Now we're down to the three candidates on the Democratic side.
Oh, we're still counting Tulsi?
Well, I'm going to count her, absolutely. But the thing is that...
Okay, so here we go.
I just pulled this off a New York Times page today. So the thing is that today, March 10th, There are some minor ones, but this is
Idaho, but Michigan's the biggie.
Michigan is really the big one. It, for a number of reasons, not be, just because it's got 125 delegates to give, which makes it the biggest one of the night, but also because Michigan was one of those rather all-important swing states.
Yeah.
And it's also this a state where, you know, Michael Moore and others are sort of, and Bernie Sanders supposedly pulled a big surprise win four years ago, 2016.
Right.
So they're thinking
he might be able to do that again.
Except that the polls are actually indicating quite opposite to that right now.
Yep.
Again, polls can be easily defied in actual election results, but as of today, there were numbers where like Biden was ahead of Sanders by 21 percentage points.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go
or 41 percentage points.
Yeah, but,
so,
right.
But I
also look at the other big one here, Washington, 89, and that's the state of Washington where all that's been going
right.
on.
Right now, Sanders was ahead in Washington, but the latest polls have Biden ahead now.
Yeah.
So it is not.
He's definitely going to get the North Dakota caucuses, and he's going to, I predict he'll get Idaho, because to me, those Western states have that kind of maverick, we don't want the government. Somehow I think Bernie would appeal to them.
Yeah.
Well, he won Colorado.
He won one other one
out there. So he does well in caucuses.
Right. So we'll see how that goes. But again, in terms of what's coming up soon. So I think Michigan is the one to watch tonight.
Right.
I don't think
Northern Mariana's Democrat.
I'm being ignorant. Citizens.
Where's the Northern Mariana's?
It's like
I never heard of
in
it.
The Pacific, I believe.
It's like American Samoa.
Yeah, there's one there too, right?
What?
Now Arizona is a big one, but Florida is a big one.
Illinois. Look at Illinois, 155.
I think Florida is especially consequential because that also is one of those swing states.
Well, and Ohio at the end there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And right now the margin in favor of Biden over Sanders in Florida is just astonishing. It's almost 50%.
Well, it's all the old, there's so many older people there and Cubans.
Well, so in other words, the old people there are deciding which old white guy they support, right? I didn't actually realize that these primaries are going to continue on. New York is not until April 28th.
Hey, in 2008, Obama was competing with Hillary until the middle of May. It was not decided till they met the May 31st, and then she conceded, even though she had more primary wins, votes, 17 something.
Right.
But it really comes down to the delegates.
So it will all culminate in July.
Okay, let's go back. I want you to answer my question I emailed you about delegates. Okay, there's candidates that have dropped out, most notably Pete, who has won delegates because he got above the threshold in some of those states before he dropped out. I have read different things about what happens to those delegates.
Okay, so now here's I don't know for sure what the rules are, but there is a sort of a point of view that may actually be consistent with the rules, which is that when you are a pledged delegate, first off, that only means on the first ballot at the convention.
Right.
And then you're cut loose.
Then you're cut loose.
Right.
That's true.
And they also add on additional delegates, so-called super delegates, under the new rules. Yeah.
But they can't give anything ahead of time to the candidate they then support.
So here's the catch. When you are a pledged delegate, are you pledged to a candidate or are you pledged to the voters who put you there? Because the thing is that if you became a delegate pledged to vote by the people for Pete Buttigieg, right?
Yeah.
The thing is that can Pete Buttigieg says, no, I'd like you to vote for Biden instead. I don't know
those are his delegates, I think, to do what he wants to after the first ballot, maybe.
Maybe it's after the first ballot.
And there was something also about state delegations have some control. They look at the district that you won. There's something about that.
Right.
I mean, I just hope they're not completely thrown away, because in some cases they're irrelevant.
They wouldn't be thrown away.
Even Amy Klobuchar has 6.
Right.
Elizabeth has quite a few.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So these are, I could see where Biden and Bernie are going to be courting for some of those.
Right. So the thing is though, can they switch the vote on the first ballot? That's
really
the only question.
So we'll have to, I'm going to try to find the answer to that.
Yeah.
And we'll call them.
I mean, technically speaking, if no candidate has a majority going into the first ballot,
then
on the second ballot, it's an open game. In fact, all the candidates who've dropped out are technically eligible to be supported.
Well, again, I think I said to you, they technically did not drop out. They suspended their campaigns, which means that they hold on to those delegates. Right. That's what I read. So
exactly.
They are not...
Right.
That's not completely out of it. Let's put it that way.
Right.
And if that's true, and they can give it to who they want, then that really is bodes more well for Biden, I think, because he
right.
has Amy, he has Pete,
and most
well,
of
Amy,
the
not so much,
presumably most of the superdelegates will go that way as well.
Well, so, they'll argue about that, even though it's the second ballot. They will not
they
the
can
first,
argue
which
about
I know.
It. There are reasons.
Those are the Democratic rules. They made these rules, but you know, Bernie's not really a Democrat in the sense that
right
he doesn't. Which means, who's he going to play with if he got to be president? I mean, he doesn't play well with others. That's how I see it.
No, I agree.
You know,
and in fact,
you
actually,
have to know how to do that.
Quite a few people who I respect today are making the point that, in terms of how this plays into the November election,
yeah.
is that. The question is, which is more important, sort of trying to win over the Sanders supporters for a Biden candidacy?
No.
Or
forget
trying
it.
To win over a lot of those disaffected Republicans and middle moderate people?
You win over the people that don't
like
want to
Trump.
See Trump
yeah.
back in office. And
yeah.
so, look, Biden was not my favorite, but. Right now, as some people have said, they'll vote for any Democrat other than, you know, I mean,
right.
yeah, I mean, if Bernie ends up being it, I will vote for him, but I won't be happy about it. But,
right.
You know, because I don't think he can beat,
right.
I don't think he can beat Trump.
For a while, I thought, naively perhaps, that the only way you could ever get a kind of a unifying candidate would be a candidate who was not unaffiliated with either party. Really, and I don't mean Sanders, who's technically not really
right.
affiliated with the Democrats.
Yeah.
But somebody who was sort of like a dark horse candidate.
Yeah, but that would be like a business
nowhere.
Person.
It could have been, right.
Well,
but the thing is that
Andrew Yang.
Right, but it just didn't work out that way. So I'm actually becoming more and more of the belief that as just sort of a unifying candidate, Biden might actually be
at this point,
choice.
At this time, he's the best we got.
And there are a lot of disaffected Republicans who could say he's all right. You know,
yeah, because he's not all the way over on the left.
Yeah, and it's better for the good of the country.
For the good of the country.
We can be okay
right.
with that. So I think that's probably where the strategy will go as the year plays itself out.
Yeah, I just, oh
ultimately.
Boy, it's,
But, you know, it's... You know, I find it kind of interesting. So Elizabeth Warren did win Cambridge, didn't win
state,
Massachusetts, came in third, which must have broke her heart, really. But
it was awful.
It was
awful. But it's sort of, I think those endorsements for Biden and then Michael Bloomberg the day before, I mean, that
I think,
really, you know.
You know, once the train was really running fast down the track, it was harder and harder.
And I... You know, I hate to say this. I like her, but she had the same liabilities that Hillary did. She's smart. She's a policy wonk. She's, you know, she's people, men, they don't want that. I'm sorry. That's why we don't have a woman president. You can't be too smart. You can't be, I don't know.
You know.
And also she, in my own, she too much aligned with the whole Bernie thing in the beginning, and I
agree.
I think that that was not a good thing.
But this country does a pretty fair job these days of electing women senators, women House of Representatives.
Oh, and how many are there women senators?
A lot more than there once were.
I know, but that's not good. You look around the world, and it's not good.
The trend is at least in a positive
direction. But it's not enough.
You know, are people?
It's going to be a long time before men want a woman to be in charge.
It's possible. People.
Black men got the vote before anyone. And got the vote.
That's true.
Anyway, let's.
So anyway, the time marches on, and
that's tonight. And there was something else. Now it's interesting.
By the way,
combining the vote.
I have to say the Elizabeth Warren spot on Saturday Night Live.
Oh my gosh,
right,
was that amazing? Kate McKinnon played Hillary to the tilt. Now, it's good that they could use humor with this one because, boy, first Saturday Night Live after Hillary lost was tears across the country. I know some of you don't think
the piano issue was the death of Leonard Cohen, who
had just died.
He just died
2 days before that.
Yeah, I actually watched that a couple nights ago again.
Oh,
it was so
I was crying in my seat. I mean,
it was
a devastating loss.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, she lost, but boy, that you didn't lose like Hillary lost.
Yeah.
She won the popular vote and lost to that clown.
I agree.
All right. The last thing I want to say, though, how do you think the corona thing is going to affect voting? Because that's also been an issue today. Because do you know they use touchscreens in a lot of places? My friend in Illinois next week, I sent her a plastic glove. I said it works.
I bet you every voting booth has like pens.
I don't know. I'm so glad we had pens. And they said, you know, our Secretary of State said, bring your own marker as long as it's black. It's an issue.
Yeah, I think it's an issue. I think
they're going to have to be more attentive, those volunteer election people.
You know, yet another check mark in favor of paper ballots.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember when I was on the technical working committee when we did the computerization of the Cambridge elections, we were absolutely insistent on paper ballots because we wanted to have an auditable paper trail.
Well, and they do. I asked my friend in Illinois. They touch screen, but they also have a paper backup, which is better than a lot of places.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the verifiable voting people are actually a little uneasy about just because it shows a paper backup doesn't necessarily mean internally.
So you're saying they actually have the physical paper ballot.
And, and this way, in the case of a recount or
a post-election
audit, you can actually take the actual physical ballots, which the voter knows darn well are how they voted, and you can use that to sort of check the
accuracy. Is that a city thing or a state thing?
The thing is that as long as you meet state standards, every municipality can kind of use some of their
own different machines. So do you know if touchscreens are used, like in Boston or other places?
I don't know that we use any. I don't know, actually, if we have touchscreens or certified in Massachusetts.
I think those kinds of things should be uniform. I'm sorry. I think voting is so important, and it's everything we do, and it should be standardized. But it goes against capitalism.
I don't know that it goes against capitalism, but the thing is that, you know, there's always been a concern. I don't think it's a reasonable concern anymore, but it was always a concern that if the federal government dictated all standards for voting,
then
that could become
corruption.
An overreach, and they could find ways of actually saying, well, we can't allow candidates who meet this criteria.
If
you go back and think about the McCarthy period, they might have excluded candidates of particular political persuasions because the federal government had passed a law saying you couldn't do it. So one thing I think is really a problem, though, in terms of is ballot access. So, in other words, if
I was going to say voter suppression and just getting
voter suppression, definitely true. But the thing is, even getting your name on the ballot varies tremendously from state to state.
Well, then that's all correct.
So, if you wanted to, let's just say that you ended up with nominees from the Republicans and Democrats, with which were both hideous, and because of a broken system, and then there was a candidate who had a lot of support. And they want to just get on the ballot for the general election so that you could actually have a third choice.
Couldn't you write them in, though?
You can write them in, but write-in candidacies are just, it's virtually impossible to get enough people
to
write in. At great expense, Marjorie Decker managed to do it in a PR election where all you had to do was get 10% of the votes.
Good point.
To become elected.
Good point. That'd be interesting.
Trying to gain majority support via writing.
There's a lot of control over voting and districting and who gets. I mean, that's a big mess.
Tend to defer more towards state level control, but you know, honestly, looking there on the whole country, I think we probably do need at least some more federal standards.
Yeah, on voting.
But the problem is that if the federal standard is that we don't like ranked choice voting, and in one state says we like ranked choice voting, you don't want to have the federal government saying you can't do it because we
decided
against it.
Well, that's a good point. Again, ranked choice voting would have made such a difference in so many elections.
There was a time, places like, I think, state of Illinois had what they call cumulative voting. So the thing is, you could actually vote multiple candidates. It was a multi-member district, and you could elect congressmen that way. It was the United States Congress actually passed a law, I don't know how you would say it, that basically required single-member districts absolutely. So the way it works now is you win, essentially winner-take-all primarily. I think maybe that's changed a little bit, but
I'll ask my friend in Illinois.
It's single-winner districts now. Single-winner. You can't have, you know, I mean, arguably, if a state was entitled to, let's say, 12 congresspeople, rather than drawing ridiculously contrived gerrymandered districts, if you could actually have a multi-member district, which was shaped normally, but where you could, it was a triple-sized district that you could elect three congressmen out of.
You think it would be more fair?
It would be more fair.
More representative.
It would be more representative, proportionally representative of the district without the need to gerrymander. But the thing is, right now, there is a federal law that says you can't do that. And that's one place where I think I would rather revert back towards state having a little bit more control on how to determine those things.
Well, what about the Electoral College? Get rid of whatever. Well, there's so many changes
that's another
need to happen,
right there.
Really.
Of course, you know, just changing the Electoral College alone, basically, because of we would end up with, you know, if you ended up with any more than two candidates with delegates, things tend to be so close that eventually, that without the Electoral College, you would probably have no candidate with a majority, an absolute majority of votes, and then the House of Representatives would be choosing the president.
Well,
so you have to change the Constitution as well.
So ranked choice voting wouldn't apply there at all.
You know, if you elect, if you awarded electoral votes proportionally, that alone doesn't solve the problem. If you eliminate the Electoral College entirely and do everything via popular vote,
that seems like
a good idea, but...
Right, it gives weight to the more populous
Well, if you ended up with an election that was decided by 500 votes nationwide, then you'd have to have a nationwide recount, and that becomes kind of nightmarish.
You think that would be likely, 500 votes?
That would be kind of unlikely, but the thing is that we have in the last few decades, we've except for a few kind of obvious landslide victories.
That's true.
You know, the Nixon-Kennedy vote was very close.
That's true.
You know, anyway, there were other ones that were quite close.
Well, Florida, just on that count, was 500 votes.
Exactly.
And they didn't want to recount. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, the standard for recounts is usually less than 0.5%, which is millions of votes. So we'd probably have recounts pretty
well. Well, something can be done between that and what we have now.
I would be satisfied even if we could get a broad national conversation started on it, even if it didn't get settled.
Well, I think there's a conversation, but that's about all it is. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, voting matters. And I'll say this again. I love my country, you know, from the music to the dangers. But the thing is that the people in this country don't know. They don't know nothing about elections.
I know. It's true.
And you go, but he got more votes, so he won.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's...
In Europe, it's a whole other story.
Yeah.
People think about representativeness and, you know, in parliamentary systems in particular, you're concerned about getting representation. And that's sort of the story.
Yeah, the whole thing about two senators for every state, I don't think is right either.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Sorry.
So.
Anyway, all right. We'll be back in the next segment.
Back in 2 minutes. We're going to get...
Keep it local.
We'll get more local.
Keep it local.
See you then, Cambridge Inside Out.